You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Let's talk about kids in football. Follow me a bit with this. There are 1,086,627 football players in this country at all levels. Only 6.5% of high school players will make a college team at any level. That's 20,052 freshmen. And the percentage of those freshmen who make it to the NFL, just 1.6%. So what does a kid really get from playing football? Michigan Radio Sports commentator and New York Times bestselling author John Eubanks dives into that very question with his newest book, Overtime, Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines at the Crossroads of College Football. Now, John, you thought, and I think you told me, you were done writing about college football.
So you thought.
So what brought you back? What is the story you just had to tell with this book?
A simple one in some ways. Jim Harbaugh had come back to Michigan, of course. It seemed to be, by all appearances, to be run the right way in terms of academically. They were top 4 or 5 nationwide. It seemed to be clean to me. Near as one can figure any of these things. They're winning 10 games 3 out of 4 years. Is it enough for the fan base, basically? Keep in mind that Bo Schembechler has got the building named after him and a statue in front, and he never won a national title. Is that still good enough? That's kind of the question. And in this case, I wanted to find out if the fans would embrace this program, if the players felt it was worthwhile, the risks and the sacrifices they make, which are tremendous, by the way. And so I want to dive in to find out what it really meant to the players. Their parents is a new angle here this time. Mm-hmm. And also the staffers. I've got chapters on this whole machine that operates 24 hours a day, I swear to God, that you've got no idea about, fans and non-fans. One of the great insights I got from one of the staffers, they love the question, what do you do in the off season? And they laugh at this one. In the off season, we scale our hours back from 100 hours a week to 50 hours a week, because that's what these jobs take.
Wow.
And the players, they're not that far off either. So the whole question is it all worth it?
And I have to ask, what do you think makes this book something that would mean something to readers who are not among the ranks of Michigan fans and faithful? I mean, what's your pitch to readers whose loyalties may lie with other teams? What will they get from reading this?
Well, one thing you get is what I just talked about, which is how the whole machine works. Look, the videographers at Michigan work pretty much the same way they do at Alabama or Michigan State or Ohio State. The nutrition programs, the strength programs, these things are elaborate. They're really quite incredible. So you'll get that from all of them. Also, you get the kind of the live feed. I interviewed 8 players, stars and non-stars, almost every week throughout the season. And you get a real-time feeling of what it feels like when you're ripped on Twitter by a stranger. What does it feel like when you win a big game? What it feels like when your parents are there to see you break a record? What does it feel like when your parents see you get into the game for the very first time after 5 years on the squad? So you get what it feels like for the whole operation, basically.
Sure, walking
and also,
through.
And we also got the bigger questions, too,
yeah,
about the risks and rewards and how to fix it and all the rest.
So you build this book around the 2018 season, and I will say you report the heck out of this. I know you had 1,000 pages of single-spaced notes from the interviews you did with Michigan players and coaches and parents and staff. You wanted to draw back the veil and show us just how this team works, a team works, a Division I team works, when everything is humming. Why do you think you got so much cooperation from everybody, including Coach Harbaugh and his family?
First, it must be said, 14 months ago, they did not want to cooperate. So I had to do some persuading. It was not, hey, come on in, let's take a look. It was a few things. I think, one, this is not my first rodeo, my first book. So almost everyone in the book knows somebody I've talked to previously, and no one's gotten burned by talking to me. Also, I do something that very few journalists do. Christine Brennan at USA Today does this, but she's about the only one I know of. When you talk to me, I send your quotes back to you before they go out, which other journalists think is crazy. It is not a license to rewrite the whole thing or write my book, certainly. But I always have some corrections. They might pull back a little bit, but they add a lot more otherwise. Most folks are willing to own strong opinions if they know they're not going to be taken out of context. So that was one reason. Third reason is obvious, and that is that if you thought you were cheating, don't invite a journalist in. That's my advice. So people who do, like Bill O'Brien at Penn State in 2012, people who do this are quite confident in what they're doing.
And you go out of your way to show how clean things are, especially you spend a lot of time on recruiting and also on the fact that, as you quote Director of Recruiting Matt Dudak, name another school that competes with the Blue Bloods athletically while competing with the Blue Bloods academically. Is Michigan an outlier in that, do you think? Or would other schools say, hey, our kids are the same. They're academic all-stars and athletic all-stars.
Some schools can say that. I would say Northwestern, Notre Dame, Stanford. Have all been, obviously, Notre Dame got to the playoffs last year. All top 25 teams, very strong academically. So they're not the only one by any means. I'd include Penn State under Bill O'Brien and Joe Paterno. I don't know about James Franklin either way. but it's still a pretty small club. And when Michigan's going after these players, they're trying to beat Alabama for a player, or they're trying to convince Sean McEwen, their star tight end, not to go to Harvard. So yeah. It's an unusual mix.
So you really do get a sense of what the process of recruiting, and I think a lot of people would be surprised to hear that. I mean, 2 years at least. And
2 year process.
Yeah, starting with thousands of names.
4,900 names they start with. And some coach or staffer sees at least a minute of every one of those players. But on the 300 players, now you do it with a 10-minute highlight reel, good and bad plays. Michigan puts together, not the player. Mm. Out of the 300, as Matt Dudek said to me, if you get your hand out for money, there's 100. You're not coming here. If you can't cut it academically here, there's another 100. Can't cut it here. We're down to about 100 that we can really want and get.
Mm. I want to talk a bit about some of the players that you choose to profile in Crossroads and why you were drawn to them in their stories. Give me just a real quick Grant Newsom.
Grant Newsom, future NFL All-Star. His parents went to Princeton, did not want him to play football. Blows out his knee against Wisconsin, horribly, almost lost his leg in 2016, and realizes he can't play football anymore, and now he's getting his master's in the Ford School while coaching the tight ends. And I asked him, would you do it all again? He said, every minute. And his father told me, because I was debating my own son. He's 4 years
sure.
old now. He's got to be bigger, faster, stronger than his dad, more talented to play football. Mm-hmm. But we were wondering before the book started, would we let Teddy play football?
Yeah.
And when Grant Newsom's dad, Leon, told me, my son is prepared for whatever the world can throw at him, and I thank Michigan for that. I think, right program, right coach, yes.
Jared Wangler,
his dad's the all-star quarterback at Michigan.
John
Wangler, of course. His dad had never scored a touchdown at Michigan Stadium in the end zone, only passing, 26 passing touchdowns. Jared, his fifth year, comes back, turns down a full ride at Indiana, pays his own way his fifth year, scores a touchdown, and he said, he's going into business. He said, I'm better prepared than everyone else.
Noah Furbush.
Noah Furbush is 10 times smarter than I am. he's getting his master's in space engineering, not aerospace engineering, but space engineering, working on a NASA grant with 20 other doctors, professors, and so on to build a vehicle to go to Mars and back while playing outside linebacker at Michigan. He had no plans for the NFL, no dreams of it. He wanted to beat Ohio State. He's from Columbus, and they didn't. And he said, I learned that even when you put your best in, it's not always enough.
What do you think will most surprise fans, John, who turn up or tune in to watch Michigan football when they read the book to learn what these kids have to do to be a member of the team?
A few things. One, they're human beings. And they thought about all this. They know what you're tweeting. They know what you're saying. They're on the inside. Second thing is they're bona fide students. They really are. I've had them in my class, for the record. I have flunked two starting players and got no pushback whatsoever from the athletic department, from the counselors, anybody. And they wanted these players, trust me. These guys earn their keep. They've got a record number of academic All-Big Ten students on this team. They're real students. Third thing is they are very careful publicly. Most of them avoid the bars. A drunk frat boy comes up to you at 1 o'clock in the morning. He wants to pick a fight to show how tough he is. They get each other out of there. It's like a SWAT team in like 30 seconds.
You describe an incident. You're right. It was highly efficient. Get them out before everybody gets their cell phone cameras going.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a three-pronged life. The main point was Matt Dudek's. There are 8,760 hours in a year, and we see 60. Mm. And this book is about the 8,700 hours.
What do you think parents and fans and players will take away from the stories that you tell about the staff, about Coach Harbaugh, and about these kids? What surprised you the most?
They're impressive. And no matter how cynical you might be going into it, and I understand why you might be, because I have shared that many times, it's hard not to be impressed by these young guys. It's hard not to pull for them as individuals. Forget the rah-rah, I can't do that as a journalist.
Right.
But when you see them out there, you care about them, and you realize how much goes into this. It's a human story.
And the life lessons outweigh the very, very long odds of playing in the NFL, which Michigan coaches tell kids NFL means?
Not for long.
Not for long,
that's
yeah.
That's part of Harbaugh's speech. He said, these 4 years are for your next 40 years. And the great quote comes from Bo Schembechler himself, who said, what kind of team are we going to have? Come back in 20 years and I'll tell you. Because that's when I'll know what kind of fathers, husbands, workers, community people you have been.
Well, when you stop and you think of the headlines as we talked today about quarterback Andrew Luck walking away from being the Colts quarterback.
Can't blame him.
Age 29, is tired of living in pain, tired of injuries. It does kind of sharpen your focus that it can't be about that ring
at the
end.
And he was ripped for this. The home fans booed him leaving the field. And by the way, if you hurt at 29, you're going to hurt a lot more at 49 or 59. So I salute him for doing that, and I boo the Indy fans who booed him.
So it's worth it? The kids say, yes, they would do it?
If you go to the right program for the right reasons. If all it is the NFL, if all it is national titles, you're being used and you're making a mistake. If you are getting more than that out of it, then it's probably worth it.
John Eubank in his latest book, Overtime, Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines at the Crossroads of College Football. As always, thanks, John.
Thank you.